all the products that Sage offers, and there's quite a few. Of course, they acquired them all, and they acquired X3 as well, as from Europe originally. But as Sam was saying, Sage X3's strength and its DNA has always been around the process manufacturing industry. I know they, over the last 2 to 3 years, have been trying to get into the discrete manufacturing world. I'm not sure with a lot of success.
Growing a business requires a holistic approach that extends beyond sales and marketing. This approach needs alignment among people, processes, and technologies. So if you're a business owner, operations, or finance leader looking to learn growth strategies from your peers and competitors, you're tuned into the right podcast. Welcome to the WBS Podcast, where scalable growth using business systems is our number one priority. Now, here is your host, Sam Gupta.
Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of the WBS Podcast. I'm Sam Gupta, your host and principal consultant at digital transformation consulting firm Elevate IQ. ERP conversations can't finish without the mention of Sage. Like SAP, Sage has always been strong in the European market as it's a European company. They have also been very well penetrated in the accounting and CPA community due to their distribution and business model. Sage has many different products in its portfolio, with construction and process manufacturing industries being its strength. While there have been many debates about the third spot in the ERP market among Microsoft, Infor, and Sage after SAP and Oracle, Sage maintains a clear lead in the SMB segment, even above SAP and Oracle. In today's episode, we invited a panel of industry experts for a live discussion on LinkedIn to discuss major stories in the ERP and digital transformation space in an objective and independent review of Sage capabilities. We covered several grounds, including the overview of different product offerings from Sage and their positioning in the market. Finally, we discussed the differences between cloud-migrated and cloud-native products and which Sage products are cloud-native and which ones are not. With that, let's get to the conversation. Hello, everyone. Welcome to today's show. And today we are going to be talking about a very exciting vendor, and that is going to be Sage. If you are joining for the first time, this is part of our industry series, where as part of the series, we are reviewing many different vendors and solutions that belong to either ERP or digital transformation space. So today we are going to be reviewing the Sage portfolio. The way this show is structured, first 10 to 15 minutes, we are going to be covering some of the news stories that are happening in the ERP digital transformation space in the last week. And then we are going to follow up with the Sage conversation. To start off, we are going to start with everybody's intro. So, Andy, would you like to introduce yourself?
My name is Andy Pratico. I have been working with ERP software for manufacturers for 40 years. I lived in the U.S. for 11 years, and I've worked with over 1,000 manufacturers in my career in about two-thirds of the U.S. states and eight-tenths of the Canadian provinces.
Okay, amazing. Thank you so much for being here, Andy. Obviously, you have competed in a lot of different deals where you have experienced Sage, so the insights are going to be super helpful for our listeners. So the next, I'm actually going to move to Phil. Phil, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure thing. I'm Phil Kerper with Ringling Business Solutions. Over the last two decades, I've been either CEO or president of mid-market manufacturing distribution companies. Because of the size of those companies, I typically would serve also as the CIO or sometimes the COO as well. A lot of implementations of different ERP systems, certainly a lot of experience with Sage. And Ringling Business Solutions is helping CEOs and executive management teams put strategy for successful e-commerce platforms, digital platforms that align with their business. Happy to be here.
Okay, amazing, Phil. And you are going to bring so much insights from the field just because you have experience implementing and being part of the team that has implemented Sage solutions. So thank you so much for being here, Phil. David, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, everybody. My name is Dave Chrysler, and I spent the majority of my career just about just over 20 years in manufacturing, responsible for operations for a large publicly traded corporation. My business now is a consulting business, all about helping small business owners and entrepreneurs create the systems that they need to stop working in their business so it can grow. Thanks for having me, Sam.
Okay, amazing. And your experience with small to medium-sized businesses is going to be super handy. Thank you so much for being here, Dave.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay, Sneha, would you like to introduce yourself next?
Yes, absolutely. Hey, everyone. This is Sneha here with over a decade of experience in manufacturing and energy industries, primarily in supply chain and operations. Super happy and excited to be here and sharing and learning at the same time about Sage. Have worked with more than a couple of ERP systems, so happy to share what I know and learn from some of the experts I'm sitting in here. Thank you so much for having me, Sam.
Okay, so your experience is going to be super handy just because you are going to represent the supply chain user and you are going to tell us whether these solutions are really going to work for the manufacturing distribution situation or not. So thank you so much for being here, Sneha.
Thanks.
All right, so guys, we are going to move to our next segment, which is going to be our stories. So number one story that I have for all of you is going to be related to SnapLogic. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with SnapLogic tool. It is the iPaaS. It's the integration platform as a service. And there are at least, you know, 4 to 5 or 10 different iPaaS platforms that are super penetrated, especially in the ERP space. SnapLogic is one of them. They have significant market share in the mid-market space. So they have announced a specific feature set. So SnapLogic has announced the release of its August 2021 product release featuring SnapLogic Flows and new API lifecycle management capabilities. SnapLogic Flows offers an intuitive user experience for non-technical business users and enable the development of application integration and data flow automation without code. The product also touts a new API developer portal, the option of zero downtime upgrade to minimize disruptions for customers during product releases. SnapLogic's intelligent integration platform provides integration across applications, databases, data warehouses, big data streams, and IoT deployments. It allows both IT and business users to create data pipelines that can be deployed on-prem and in the cloud. The platform features an HTML5 visual designer and a proprietary AI algorithm called Iris that learns common integration patterns and drives self-service by recommending flows. And guys, if you're wondering what is happening with SnapLogic, I think they are trying to catch up with another platform called Workedo, and they have slightly more intuitive designer. So what SnapLogic has done is they have simply tried to catch up with them because this was slightly more legacy platform. They didn't have as much cloud capabilities, and the platform was not really designed for the business user. So I think they have simply created that. So it's going to be really exciting how they are going to be with these new capabilities. So the next story that we have is coming from Oracle, and Oracle has one sort of the recognition in IDC's eyes. And if you're not familiar with IDC, IDC is the analyst agency that actually rates many different ERP platforms. So here the news is going to be today's consumers expect an easy, intuitive digital experience when it comes to their service providers. And utility companies are no exception. However, many utilities struggle to meet this expectation throughout each customer interaction. Oracle alone offers a full suite of solutions to help energy, gas, and water utilities deliver timely and connected experiences. Whether they are setting up an account for the first time or getting tips to reduce energy use in their home. In recognition of these efforts, Oracle was named a leader by IDC in its MarketScape Worldwide Customer Experience Management, that is also called CXM, Solutions for Utilities 2021. And there is another award related to customer engagement solutions for utilities 2021. And guys, if you're wondering what this news is about, the utility market is very unique overall in terms of their business processes. Not many ERP companies are going to have capabilities to be able to support the utilities market just because they have things like residential billing, things like integration with your power grid. So this market is going to be fairly unique. I am actually shocked that there is no other vendor that are playing there. So obviously Oracle is going to have monopoly in this specific space. And that's why they are saying that they are the only one who can support these feature set. So that's about Oracle. I'll move to the next story now. The next story is related to Workday. And what Workday has done is, Workday, a leader in enterprise cloud applications for finance and human resources, today announced it has achieved ready status for the Federal Risk and Authorization Management Program. And I am pretty sure you guys have heard of FedRAMP. At a moderate impact level, with this achievement, Workday materially advances its position to help federal agencies accelerate IT transformation and gain real-time insights to address critical challenges across workforce development, compliance, financial sustainability, and more. So what Workday has done, guys, here is they are trying to get into the government market. I don't think they really had the government cloud, and I am surprised that, because they have significant market share overall in the public sector space, and they did not really have the FedRAMP certification. If you look at some of the other providers, for example, SAP, Infor, Oracle, they all have the FedRAMP certification for at least their flagship products. So Workday is now moving into the government space just because that's their sweet spot. If you actually look at their offering, because they have very strong HCM module and then very strong financial module. So obviously the public sector and the service-centric industries are going to be best fit for them. And obviously the public sector is one industry that is going to be their core now that they have this certification. Okay, so I think we have one more story. I think this is the last one before we move to the other section, which is going to be Sage. And here, with respect to Sage, and I'll read this story again. So this is Sage Software Solutions, distributor of Sage Group PLC, announces the launch of Sage X3R 2021 in India. Sage X3 is a global product from Sage Group. It is a cost-effective end-to-end ERP that brings together various business functions of the organization under one enterprise-grade business management solution and a shared database. Sage X3 can be deployed on-premise or on cloud and offers numerous capabilities like multi-currency, multi-country, multi-language, and multi-location. At the core of the new release of Sage X3 is NPI, new product introduction, and I'm pretty sure Sneha is getting a kick out of it. Functionality that will help organizations meet the needs and challenges of introducing new and innovative products in competitive and fast-changing market dynamics governed by technological innovations and a vast array of external factors. With India being projected as new, innovative, and competitive manufacturing hub for global companies targeting consumers in India and other international markets, business functions like R&D, costing, testing, and validations become more crucial than ever. Unlike manufacturing global established products, which have defined bill of material, routings, etc. So I think that story goes on. But the point to be noted here is Sage has the India localization. And I don't know how many mid-market solutions really offer the India localization. I don't even know how many manufacturing companies require the India localization. I don't know how many are outsourcing to India, but I can see some companies. So I will be interested in knowing what your thoughts are overall with this localization. I have not seen other mid-market providers providing this localization so far, at least as far as the Indian market is concerned. So that's pretty much it for the stories. What are your comments, guys?
I will just like to share, I was very interested in seeing that this solution is focused more on new product introduction. And I guess I have mentioned this in my previous talks as well, that new product introduction is challenging and complex compared to establishing an ERP to support the legacy sustainable solutions. And so it involves back and forth when it comes to bill of materials, managing that, managing your project per se, going back and forth. And it looks like, and if that's the solution they're offering, it looks like they have some kind of timeline or mimicking some kind of Gantt chart here, managing projects as well as part of their offering. So interesting to see that. I haven't seen or witnessed and a ERP system solely focusing and, you know, actually promoting the fact that they support the new product introduction and solves that complexity and problem for businesses. So that's very interesting and interesting to see.
So some comments here, guys, with respect to the new product introduction, this could be a marketing hype here, to be honest. Okay, yes, they have mentioned that they are supporting the R&D features as part of Sage X3, but those features are not going to be similar to the PLM solution that you would see. But overall, I think Sage X3 solution has far deeper capabilities in the process manufacturing space. So they are going to have slightly deeper functionality overall for the process manufacturing. But I doubt if that is going to be closer to what you are going to get in a real PLM solution. And Sneha, you know, I don't think you will get kicked out of this platform based on the functionality that it is going to provide. You would probably require, especially if you are in the, let's say, either food and beverage space or in the apparel space, you would probably require a PLM solution to manage your MPI process. I don't think you'll like the ERP functionality as much, but I would love to hear others' thoughts, you know, what they are thinking. Andy, Phil, Dave.
Yeah, I echo. I was surprised to see Sage saying they had an MPI functionality that was going to be able to be fundamental like that. That's surprising if they have that. So I echo that. And the Trace of India is also interesting in the mid-market space. It's a hard country to do business with unless you're going to make a local investment and have a local ownership structure. So it's from a strategic standpoint, I find that choice of that space interesting, how they're going to access that. But it's a incredibly important market. It's just a difficult market to penetrate.
All the products that Sage offers, and there's quite a few, of course, they acquired them all, and they acquired X3 as well, as from Europe originally. But as Sam was saying, Sage X3's strength and its DNA has always been around the process manufacturing industry. I know they, over the last 2 or 3 years, have been trying to get into the discrete manufacturing world. I'm not sure with a lot of success, but it was mentioned, I had no idea they had that type of functionality at all. Whether it's strong or weak, I think that's completely debatable. But I mean, you know, its strength has always been in the process industry. And whenever you're looking at any ERP system, regardless of what they claim or what they tell you, it's what their DNA is where they're strongest.
Especially, that's such a good point, Andy, especially because their model is to buy these companies as basically Absolutely. Their product roadmap platform, and not to develop, you know, or they expand capabilities typically from what I've seen in Stage, but they don't just develop a new functionality. And I don't believe a robust MPI functionality came with what they purchased on X3. At least I wasn't aware of it.
No.
So just a couple of points to retouch, you know, Phil, on your point related to their presence in India. So I would actually doubt if any of the large enterprise software companies are not going to have presence in India. Sage, I can almost guarantee that they are going to have massive, massive presence overall in India, and they have large market share as well. So that is not the problem. I guess the localization piece itself is a major problem, because India is a very unique country from the VAT perspective, from the taxation perspective. So a lot of companies typically struggle implementing the localization functionality for countries like India, countries like Brazil.
Brazil as well, that's right. You name the toughest ones is Brazil and India. You really have to have that localization. It means ownership and means, you know, really putting a lot of your IP as well as your business model in the hands of the locals. And that doesn't mean it can't be great, but you have to find really good partnerships.
Yes. And typically, one of the problems that I have seen in a lot of different ecosystems, typically this localization piece is going to be owned by a value-added reseller, which is the VAR. And that opens, you know, different set of cans of worms that we all know. The problems that you are going to get when you have to integrate 5,000 different pieces from 5,000 different vendors. So now if Sage is providing this functionality out of the box, obviously that's going to be a massive differentiator. So for companies in North America, let's say if they have their outside processing in India or they have India as a market as part of their corporate umbrella, Sage could be a great solution overall, you know, from that perspective. Sage X3, just to be clear, not Sage, because Sage has like 100 different products in their portfolio.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Any other comments, guys?
Well, I thought the Oracle information was interesting, too, because that space has a lot of custom systems these governments have made. And for them to enter that space, and there's also a dynamic in the utilities market, especially on the consumer side, which just speaks to of getting a much stronger link between the energy demand of your house and the overall demand on the grid. In some places in Texas and California, the utility now has the capability, it's optional, but has the capability to take over the amount of energy, take over the temperature in your house under certain grid conditions and offer you a discount for that. And this is kind of the backbone to being able to really link the demand and the supply side on energy in these coming years as it goes more sustainable and as the utility companies really look to manage it. So I think they're stepping into this space at a really important time, and it could be impactful for Oracle, especially if, as this suggests, they're the first ones really to go in there and do it.
Yeah, I completely agree. In fact, I mean, see, when I look at the ERP system, they are always trying to duplicate the functionality when there are so many different industries that don't really have ERP play at all. And one of which is obviously going to be energy, water. They are amazing market so far. What I have seen is just the custom solutions or really mom and pop. So if Oracle has the capability in that market, that's a great differentiator.
Yeah, and great potential here with the existing systems these utilities use. So, I mean, it's really, it's almost blue ocean type of stuff for Oracle if they do it right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, so we are going to be covering the SAP as well. We will look at different solutions. SAP, as a vendor, obviously, they have 100 products as well. So we are going to be talking about the specific product set in their portfolio, and we are going to be covering their capabilities where they are really strong and where they might not be as strong. Thank you so much for joining. So guys, if you guys don't have any other comments, we need to get going with our Sage section just because we are running out of time right now. So I'll start. So the way we are going to cover the Sage section, so we are going to read up some of their financial reports because that's where the truth lies in my experience. I mean, you know, in the marketing hype and the marketing reports, we all know how marketing reports work. But if you actually want to get the truth about any specific vendor, where they are growing, what has been their real growth, whether they have been experiencing any issues, they are going to be in the financial statements. Okay. And that's what I personally like to read to get the real picture in terms of which are the solutions that are growing, which are the solutions that are going to be phased out. So this is the statement that is actually coming as part of this quarter. So they have published for the period ending June 30th, 2021. So I am actually going to read it for you guys. So Sage has performed strongly in the first 9 months of the year. And guys, this is this year, 2021. Despite COVID, a lot of people feel that, you know what, ERP vendors are not growing, but Sage has grown. Okay, as momentum in the business continue to strengthen, recurring revenue increased by 5%, supported by software subscription growth of 11%. As a result, subscription penetration increased to 69%. They are actually trying to track the penetration rate of their subscription. So if they have the on-prem installation, they are not tracking that. Their KPI for the investors is the subscription rate. And the subscription is actually coming from their cloud native solutions and the business cloud solutions that we'll talk in just a second. But they are really committed to make Sage a SaaS company. They really struggled somewhere around 2018, I guess, when they did not have Intacct in their portfolio. They were really struggling. But now after Sage Intacct, they are doing really well in the cloud native space. So regionally, North America achieved recurring revenue growth of 7%. By the way, this is another point that we are going to talk about Sage Intacct. Sage was perceived to be more of the European solution. In fact, if you look at their financial statement, they are all going to be in Euro. They are not going to be in USD. So when customers actually use Sage solution, sometimes they feel that they are using an alienated solution from Europe. But after Sage Intacct, that's changing just because Sage Intacct has market share in North America and they are growing significantly in North America again because of Sage Intacct. So regionally, North America achieved recurring revenue growth of 7%, mainly reflecting a good performance from Sage Intacct with continued strength in new customer driven by accelerated growth in cloud native solutions, including Sage Accounting, together with further growth in Sage 50 Cloud Connected. In international, recurring revenue grew by 4%, but this international includes Europe market as well. They are growing in Europe. They are not doing as well in some other markets. So we are going to dig into all of this in some of the next slides. So here we are going to be reviewing their portfolio. So they segment the portfolio between two different solutions. So one is going to be cloud native. Cloud native is going to have solutions like Sage Intacct, and the cloud connected is going to be the ones that are migrating from the legacy platforms. Okay, and that is going to be solutions like Sage X3. So they have clearly differentiated the Sage X3 solutions versus your Sage Intacct. Sage Intacct is the only cloud native solution. A lot of other vendors don't make that distinction. They are trying to sell it as cloud native. But Sage, in their financial statements, in the marketing, I don't know what they call, okay? But in their financial statements, they have to make the clear distinction between cloud native versus business cloud, okay? So their growth, if you look at the cloud native section, they have had significant growth in cloud native because of Sage Intacct. As you can see, that is 30%. And then we have the cloud connected, and cloud connected are the solutions that are getting ported from your on-prem. I mean, they are going to be cloudy as well from the delivery model perspective, but they are not going to feel as cloud native as your other solutions, such as your Sage Intacct. Now, you as a customer might not understand this just because you don't have probably as much development background, but if you talk to any expert, they sort of know by looking at the solution whether this is really the ported solution from on-prem or it is really cloud native. So make sure you consult with somebody in IT department who has a little bit of development background to be able to tell whether this is a real cloud or a fake cloud. So here, cloud connected is going to be, it's still going to be cloud. You are going to get, you know, all of the bells and whistles from the cloud business model perspective, but it is the cloud connected. It's not cloud native.
You mind if I ask you to, depending upon who the audience is, they might want to get confused by that last statement. Would you describe the difference between cloud native and business cloud, please?
So cloud native are going to be the solutions that were born in the cloud versus the solutions that were primarily on-prem. They were developed using on-prem technologies, and now they are trying to convert the functionality into the cloud native development model. So typically the development process, the way the product development is work for these legacy solution is they are going to convert one screen at a time. It's not good. The experience is not going to be similar to what you are going to get in case of cloud native. So in Sage X3 portfolio, if you actually look deeply, they are calling it as the web app. Okay, that is given in the financial statements. That is as part of their reporting that they have introduced a lot of web screens. Okay, these web screens are slightly cloud native. They are not going to be completely cloud native because they have to please their existing customers, but at the same time, please the legacy functionality as well that they are carrying, because they cannot really just move away from these legacy customers and just install in the new environment. So it's just challenging for vendors such as SAP, Oracle, Sage, Microsoft, all of them are really struggling with this issue. Obviously, they are going to be functionally rich, but not technically as rich as some of the cloud native solutions. For example, Sage Intacct is one of them.
So what do you feel would be the negative regarding a business cloud solution in comparison? Obviously, most of the audience are going to see the word cloud and think, oh, it's in the cloud.
So there are a lot of different negatives. So for example, if you look at the cloud native solutions, they are going to feel similar across the devices. That experience may not be same in case of your business cloud solution, because either the screens are going to be ported across the platforms or they are simply trying to cross-fit in different devices. So the experience, again, you will not feel the difference if you actually don't understand the technicals behind the platform, but your efficiency is going to degrade because it's not really designed for that. Okay, so you are not going to be as efficient as the user as you are going to be. You are going to feel that the newer platform feels slightly better. For example, let me give you an example. If you have used Facebook versus mainframe, we all know that when you use mainframe, oh my goodness, you are probably going to pull your hairs because that was not designed for modern age such as Facebook. But when you use Facebook, Facebook is sort of the cloud native platform, you know, at this point of time, because you can use on your mobile. Again, they also struggle with these things because Facebook started in what, 2005, but it's a technical shop, so they can modernize their platform far better than some of these ERP vendors. But so when it comes to cloud native, the experience is going to be far superior. You are going to be far more efficient overall when you move from one device to the next. The workflows are going to be far richer overall when you move from one place to the next. If once you actually look at it, again, we need to look at the screen to be able to spot the difference. You will see how screens are going to be so different when you talk about the legacy platform versus the newer platform. One more caveat that you might see in these solutions. So the way these guys are migrating their platforms, for example, let's say if you look at the Sage Act 3, so half of their code base is going to be cloud native. Half of the code base is not going to be cloud native. So half of the screens are going to look different than the other ones. So your experience, again, is going to be, you are going to feel as if you are using two systems, to be honest. But if you look at the cloud native solutions, such as your, you know, Sage Intacct, Acumatica, NetSuite, they are all going to have very different experience. It's going to be easier.
But it also, management's primary operational focus is to grow Sage Business Cloud by acquiring new customers and by migrating existing customers to Sage's cloud native and cloud connected solution. So it's a customer path. These three products are a customer path as well.
Yes. So what every company is trying to do right now is they are trying to move customers to the SaaS model as much as possible, because mm-hmm. that's what investors want. That's what Wall Street want. Matter what people say, because they are the ones who are actually funding it, right? So Wall Street want every company to be the SaaS company. So now, Sage is committed to be a SaaS company. That's why they are migrating their solutions to either cloud native. Now, every solution cannot be cloud native because they have this technical debt that you cannot transform overnight. It doesn't work that. Sort of find the middle ground, and the middle ground is the cloud connected at this point of time from Sage perspective.
If I'm a Sage customer, the important thing to know is if I'm going to cloud native or cloud connected, that is not a permanent step. That is a stopping point to eventually get me to business, right?
So one of the key points that you might want to pay attention to in that statement, Phil, is these two are going to be completely different products. These two are going to be completely different databases. So even though they might belong to the same vendor, it might be switching to a completely different ERP platform. So mm-hmm. one of the disadvantages that you are going to get as a user is you might lose your entire data, even if you are moving from product one to product two, because when you move the ERP system, it's not going to be possible.
So I'll bring that up with my experiences with Sage down the road, but that is a big issue when you're going from one Sage product to another.
Yeah, so Sage is trying really hard to create the migration path across the platforms, but that is not always easy. A lot of vendors are trying to do that, to be honest. Sage is not the only one. So, you know, nobody really wants to lose their existing customers, because if they don't convert in the cloud native, they are going to move to somewhere else. And that's the risk. If you actually look at the risk in their financial statement, they have highlighted this risk that, you know, we should be converting every single customer in cloud native, which is going to be Sage Intacct at this point of time, or Sage X3, which is going to be middle ground. If they don't do that, then somebody else is going to come, either NetSuite, Acumatica, and they are going to take their customers. Any other comments, guys, before we move to the next slide?
I was just, I had a question, actually, and similar to what Phil was mentioning. If we have customers moving from their current Sage version, say 300 X3, to cloud, I'm just curious to see what the scalability looks like. Does that really fall in the ERP category? Are they really integrating end-to-end and the experience remains the same? Or will they experience a degradation in their experience when they move to a cloud version versus what they have seen? Because, of course, as you mentioned, latency issues is one piece, but also understanding from a functionality standpoint, are they compromising on anything? Does this cloud version really fall in the ERP category that a customer might be using? For example, Sage 300 or X3.
So there are a lot of different flavors there in your comments. So I am going to touch some of them. So I think you mentioned number one, scalability. I don't know if scalability is going to be same as the feature richness that you were mentioning. So let's say if they move to cloud native, it's not going to be as binary as, you know, one and zero, that today I was on Sage X3 and tomorrow I'm going to be on Sage Intacct. Even the Sage Intacct, if they want to have similar functionality as Sage X3, it's going to take light years if they are trying to get there. I don't even know if from the product strategy perspective, if they are really trying to make the Sage Intacct as Sage X3, because that may not be financially feasible even for Sage. So feature richness right now, if you look at any of the cloud native solutions, okay, they are super lean in their functionality. Okay, it doesn't matter whether you look at NetSuite, Acumatica, or Sage Intacct, they are not going to have as rich functionality as Sage X3 or, for example, SAP ECC or, for example, Infor Cloud Suite Industrial or Apicore. They all are very feature rich, but their challenge is they cannot port this functionality overnight to cloud. So you need to find your middle ground. Okay, what is going to be your middle ground? And maybe middle ground is your Sage X3. Otherwise, you might be using hundreds of add-ons as part of your integration strategy. Okay, so I'm actually going to get going here with our assessment of their financial statements. So here, they have highlighted a couple of things. So our strategy to accelerate cloud-native solutions is focused initially on our largest markets of Northern Europe and North America. Those are the two markets that they are focusing at this point of time. They don't care as much for the other markets. The reason why they wanted to acquire Sage Intacct is because they wanted to grab market share in North America that Sage did not have as much as they have after acquisition of Sage Intacct, which together accounts for almost 2/3 of Sage's recurring revenue, which is the 2/3 is what? 66% ND, if I do the math right. So 66% of the revenue is coming from these two large markets. Now, I am going to read some more things here. In North America, our focus has been on growing our cloud-native solutions for medium-sized customers through product enhancements, sales and marketing investment, and broader distribution. As a result, we have added our 700 new Sage Intacct customers in the US during first half, an increase of more than 50% compared to the first half of FY20. Migrations to Sage Intacct from Sage 200 and Sage 50 products have also accelerated. To drive further growth, we are investing to enable Sage Intacct to address additional industry verticals more effectively, including manufacturing and distribution. And we are going to look at Sage Intacct. Sage Intacct solution was never designed for manufacturing and distribution. We are going to look at their presence at this point of time in terms of the industries that they are able to penetrate. Manufacturing and distribution were never part of their game, but it seems that they are actually going to focus on that as well. The other point to note here is going to be they have acquired 700 customers. Can you guys believe this? Okay, 700 customers in first half of 2021, which means they have acquired roughly, 1,400 customers in the whole year. In my opinion, that is significant because a lot of different vendors in the market, they are going to claim they are the fastest growing, but maybe they are not. Because actually, if you look at their numbers, you know, their numbers did not actually line up in terms of the fastest growing. Sage Intacct is very rarely in media or news. Okay, so this is the point to be noted that Sage Intacct is growing really fast right now. And based on the number of customers, I don't know who's going to be the fastest growing, but they have substantial growth here.
So that 700 does not include the migrations from Sage 200 and Sage 50.
I am not too sure.
They're sure implying it with the word new, right, Andy?
They are, but it does. It's not absolutely clear.
No, it's no. It does say that migrations to Sage Intacct from Sage 200 and Sage 50 products have also accelerated. So if they are saying that, that means there are going to be additional customers
implied.
Yes.
Yeah, that's also that word also there is making a strong implication that those 700 are new Intacct, not migration.
Right.
Yes, but in my mind, I think 1,400 is a humongous count. And if I remember from the Acumatica summit this year, my recollection is that they sort of have gone back and forth, I would say,
in their numbers. And when you don't get the public statement, the investor, reporting, it's very hard to trust the numbers. Yeah. So my recollection of Acumatica is Acumatica had announced 6,500 two, 3 years back. And then, when they had their summit this year, they announced roughly what, 8,000. And I think in the R1, they had claimed they had roughly what, 11,000-12,000. So I don't know what happened there. Maybe they were counting number of entities. Sometimes companies do that, actually. They are really counting the number of entities, not the actual customers. A lot of companies do that. So there is a little bit of distinction there. So here, I think they are clearly saying these are customers and not entities, because in the financial statements, I don't know if anybody is going to write that entity. They are going to make clear distinction because they have to comply with the Sarbanes Oxley.
Right.
But I mean, this looks very promising overall in the Sage Intacct portfolio. So I'm actually going to move on. There are a couple of risks that were identified in the financial statements and I'm actually going to read this, and this is related to product strategy. I think this is really important for people who are considering Sage product. So recent cloud native products, Sage Intacct and Sage People, are the only ones that are identified as the cloud native products. The other products are not really cloud native. Are available in Sage Business Cloud in North America. So Sage Business Cloud is the cash term that they are using pretty much for everything, but there are going to be different products that are going to be sourced as part of those platforms depending upon which one you are buying. So Sage Business Cloud is going to be really platform, and the only two cloud native products that you are going to get in that is going to be your Sage Intacct and Sage People. And from the market perspective, in North America, UK, Ireland, and Australia, and South Africa, with further international delivery continuing to develop. And so obviously they are only focusing on these large markets. Right now, they really want to go hard on these markets. They had also announced some changes in their partner model. I haven't seen any specific news related to that, but they did align the partner, and Sage is a very partner-driven organization. Overall, they go through the market through their partner. So they had aligned their incentives more towards making it a SaaS company. So that's very exciting that Sage is really committed to that. Okay, so I am going to move now. And if you actually look at their metrics, and if you pay attention to the newer metrics that they have for their products and services, you are not going to find any of their legacy products, which is going to be your Sage 100, 300, 500 of the world that were there in the on-prem world. So the only products that are identified here as your cloud connected and the cloud native solutions are going to be Sage X3 is identified as the cloud connected solution for medium businesses. Sage 200 Cloud is a slightly smaller product. So the comparison here is going to be Sage X3 is going to be slightly more mid to large market product. But if you are a process focused organization, you probably would not have a choice except going for Sage X3. Sage 200 is going to be slightly smaller product. It is going to be primarily towards distribution. I don't know how much manufacturing functionality that they have, but this is really for slightly smaller, medium-sized organization. But these two are really the legacy products that they are carrying, but they are serving them as part of their cloud business solution. For the small segment, they have the Sage 50 Cloud, which is the functionality of that is similar to your QuickBooks. So if you look at their pricing sheet, it's not going to have any bells and whistles that you are going to require as part of your ERP. It's really the similar to QuickBooks. In the cloud native solutions category, they have Sage Intacct and Sage People. And by the way, guys, if you are not familiar with what People means, this is going to be their tiny HR solution that they have. So, those are the only ones that are really cloud native at this point of time. They also have Sage Accounting, Sage Payroll, and Cake HR identified as cloud native, but they are the ones that are competing with QuickBooks or Xeros of the world. Now, there is a little bit of fine lines here, so I don't know if there is anything. That's pretty much it from the product portfolio perspective. Guys, if you are not familiar with the Sage ecosystem, they have roughly 40,000 different value-added resellers. They are known as or favored by the accounting firms. I would say, QuickBooks and Sage are two platforms that are always going to be the go-to platforms for a lot of, accounting companies. In fact, Sage Intacct is the only solution that is AICTA certified, if I remember correctly. If I don't know if other products have caught up, but typically accounting firms, trust Sage Intacct a lot more than other comparable cloud native solutions. And as you can see, their influence is far bigger overall in the accounting community. They have roughly, 80,000 accountants in their portfolio who are either partnering with them or selling their solution.
That's interesting. 80,000 accountants. You know, obviously, most companies that go to their accountants think they're going to get unbiased opinions.
Yes, that's right. And, you know, it's probably not going to be unbiased because accountants are probably going to know just two or three solutions.
Yeah, not quite.
Yep. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's very hard to know all of these ERP systems. And obviously, you know, they have their limitations as well in terms of what they are going to know. But yeah, Sage is definitely going to be one of the solutions that they typically recommend.
Is this 80,000, is this worldwide or is a global network of partners?
Okay. Yeah, it's global. It's worldwide.
And the language there is interesting. It's advise and sell.
I know. Advise and sell. It's like, wow.
I'm going to read it as sell. Let's just.
Either that or they're all bipolar, one of the two.
They are fairly welcomed. In fact, there are teams at each of these OEMs that are targeting accountants to be able to sell more. They have created their revenue stream to motivate accountants to sell these solutions.
The other good part was actually 500 independent software vendors that add further functionality. So those are the add-ons that we are talking about. Sage is pretty open in terms of collaborating with others and just keep adding to it. I guess Sage also has had the history of acquisitions and then integrating and then growing. So this speaks to what their model is.
Does anyone know whether those ISVs, if Sage has a certification program or is it the Wild West?
It's similar, Andy. Every OEM out there is going to have the certification program. So obviously Sage has that as well. Okay. They have fairly developed channel ecosystem, fairly developed channel partnerships. Their partnerships typically focus on a specific product. So every partner that you are going to talk to, they are going to be fairly biased in their opinion because they are only certified in that specific solution. So sometimes when you go from Sage Product 1 to Sage Product 2 or Sage Partner 1 to Sage Partner 2, your experience is going to be completely different because of this complexity, just because even Sage discriminate between, okay, you are my 300 partner, you are only going to be selling 300. So when you are advising your customer, you are only advising on 300. You are not advising on X3, which I find fascinating. Ideally, you should be able to, at least if you're a Sage partner, then you should at least know about all of these solutions. But no, that's not how it works.
No.
Okay. So I'm super short on time, guys. So I'm actually going to move super quick here. And then we can spend 5 minutes in discussing these points. So there are some more points overall with respect to the small to medium sized business strategy. This is really important. So I'm actually going to read this. In FY20, we developed and acquired solutions to create a differentiated end-to-end proposition for businesses that spends accounting, automation, payroll, and HR. This allows customers to scale from an entry-level accounting package, and I think they are talking about your QuickBooks, to a full suite of integrated back-office software that enables them to manage their finances, operations, and people. And they are really highlighting the people piece, to be honest. And Sage is really good at accounting, so they want to make sure that people piece is always included as part of their offerings. If you look at some of the comparable solutions, the people part may be missing, especially if you're looking at some of the mid-market solutions. They might include the people piece, but it might not be as robust, or it may be only present, let's say, in North America. They might not be able to serve, for example, Canadian market. But with Sage, that's not going to be a problem.
I had a quick question. So when they say operations, are they talking inventory piece also?
So here, this is really for the smaller business. So when you say inventory, obviously inventory could be a PhD in itself, right? So here we are talking about tiny restaurant serving a menu on the board and a tire shop that are serving probably, 5 million in revenue. That's just, I don't think we are talking about very sophisticated, manufacturing companies here. Yeah. So, okay. So I'm actually going to move on. We launched Sage Accounting Plus in the UK in May, attracting new customers, not as important. So in the medium-sized businesses, we progressed the internationalization of Sage Intacct. Sage Intacct was primarily a North American solution when they started, but they are really investing a lot of money in internationalizing that. And surprisingly enough, they have launched in South Africa, which I don't hear often. Why would you go to South Africa? That's so they must have a very specific market that they are targeting in South Africa. That's why they are working on the localization there in that market, making strong progress in the UK. And seems like their priority is South Africa. I don't know if it is because I think African market has a lot of not-for-profit, and Sage is very well prevalent in not-profit space. So that could be the reason why they might be focusing on South African market. We launched Sage Intact Construction in the US to meet the unique needs of construction and real estate companies. By the way, guys, you know, if you don't know this, for Sage, the number one market for them is construction. Okay, they have always had one of the largest market share in the construction space. If you actually look at their website is all over the place. But if you look at the industries, the way they prioritize on their website, the number one is always going to be construction. Just because they really care for construction, they have significant market share in that. So that's why they are trying to penetrate the whole cloud native solution in the construction market. They are behind, I would say, in terms of the capabilities, but overall, if you look at the richness of the solution, I think Sage Intact is going to be slightly superior overall from the product perspective, what construction companies are going to need just because of the inherent design of the Sage Intact solution.
Are all the Sage products construction centric or just specifically Intact?
Intact. So Sage has a very product specific strategy. So Sage's 300 product was very construction and real estate focus. Okay, yes. They always had that Sage 300 product. Obviously, when you start, you are going to start with 50 or 100. That's just an accounting package. It's not even an ERP.
Right.
Okay, then you are going to move to 300 is when you are going to get the bells and whistles of the ERP. So Sage 300, and in fact, I mean, see today, if you go to Sage and if you ask them, I'm looking for a construction solution, they are probably going to recommend that if Sage Intact is going to fall short, because even though it is cloud native, it is not going to be functionally as superior as your Sage 300. And you might end up installing either the hybrid cloud solution or the business solution or the ported cloud solution, whatever you want to name it. But it's not the cloud native. Just I want to make sure we have clear distinction there. So guys, we develop new technology platforms that enable existing Sage desktop or cloud connected customers to migrate to a cloud native solution. So obviously they are working very hard. There's no question about that. That they are trying to get them, everybody to cloud native as fast as possible, but software development is hard, as we all know. So this is the Sage accounting package. In the Sage accounting package, if you pay attention, you are not going to find anything related to inventory, because their target market primarily were always sort of the service-centric companies, not-for-profit, construction, project-centric companies, not the manufacturing and distribution. That's why you are not going to see all of those features in this. So sometimes when you are comparing between your Sage and QuickBooks, you are probably going to find Sage slightly better if you are going for, let's say, your not-for-profit market or your construction or real estate market. But QuickBooks may be better if you are slightly more product-centric organization, manufacturing, distribution, etc. Moving along. Now, if you actually look at their site is very confusing at this point of time. To be honest, I have had really hard time paying attention to, okay, which are the products, what is the hierarchy of the products? So in the mid-market section, if you actually look at, you have Sage X3, you have Sage 200 Cloud, you have Sage CRM, you have Sage Intelligence. So they are still selling the Sage on-premise CRM. And I don't know if this is the sugar CRM that they sell, but this was really the third-party CRM. I don't know if the code base is now owned by Sage, but this is a very legacy solution that they had come up with to compete with Salesforce. But I think now their go-to CRM is Salesforce. So they are selling themselves as more of the financial software integrated with Salesforce. But before that, they actually wanted to compete with Salesforce, and they were selling some other CRM. I don't know if that is the strategy right now as well. So in the market section, you have the X3, which is slightly bigger product. But again, this is more of the hybrid cloud solution. And then you have the Sage 200 Cloud, which is, again, it's not the cloud native solution. It's the cloud solution, the hybrid cloud solution that you have that is coming from your legacy platform. And then you have the Sage Intelligence. This is going to be your BI solution that Sage has. Moving right along, guys. So I have a lot of different data sheets for the Sage X3 product as well as Sage Intact product, because I feel those are two solutions that are super rich in their portfolio. So a couple of points to note in the Sage X3 portfolio is, number one, they have the true multi-entity solution. A lot of companies in the market, they claim that they have true multi-entity solution, but those entities are not really going to live in one database, to be honest. and you are going to run into a lot of issues. For example, let's say if you look at NetSuite. NetSuite is a true multi-entity solution because, you know, let's say if you have differences in your chart of accounts, you don't have to have completely separate tenant that is actually not going to talk to each other. In case of NetSuite or Sage X3, this is the true multi-entity solution. For example, Infor Cloud Suite Industrial, that is the true multi-entity solution, because even if you have differences in currency, even if you are serving multiple countries, you are still going to be living in the same database. So let's say if you want to share your customers, vendors, inventory, you can do all of that. So it's a true multi-entity solution designed for larger enterprises. They are really good at the analytical dimensions from the finance perspective. One of the best solutions if you are very finance heavy in your organization. That's why if you look at the Sage's penetration, you are going to find some companies like energy, mining. They are very finance centric company and they just love this because they need a lot of analysis, a lot of reporting because they are very asset heavy. So they typically like to see a lot of Sage, a lot of SAP. So it's a very finance heavy solution. Moving right along, guys, there are some cool features such as if you look at the propagation rules between ledgers, that is something, you know, that I have not seen in the other ERP systems that Sage X3 has. Then you are going to have things like unique business partner identification, additional information based on roles. You know, again, this I find very unique and that is available in slightly larger ERP system where they are going to support the independent reps, the sales reps, and then your distributors and your carriers, the factor. So when you look at some of these energy organizations, they are going to have very complex customer structure that may not be supported by some of the vanilla ERP system, and Sage X3 has much deeper functionality there. They also have a lot of functionality related to business and financial risk. You are not going to find that in vanilla ERP system. So especially if you're a public company, you require assessing your risk. So you will not be able to do that if you are going for any of the smaller ERP systems or vanilla ERP systems that are not designed to support the accounting practices of a public company. So Sage X3, again, it's a very robust financial solution. So that's why they have a lot of functionality related to your financial risk. They also have, you know, things like credit policy management. I have not seen that in other ERP systems, which I find fairly unique overall in the Sage X3 portfolio. And then automating cross-currency journal entries, which I don't think I have personally seen in any other ERP platform, which I find fairly fascinating. As you can see, from the finance perspective, their bias is going to be towards the European market. That's why if you look at the compliance, they are going to be more compliant in the European market than in the American market. So if you feel that this is a European solution, you are not off, because it was really designed to be an European solution. They have larger market share with Sage Intacct. So these two products are completely different. Some more things from the financial management perspective. If you are a very asset heavy organization and if you have to compute, let's say the depreciation 15 different ways, I don't know if I have seen that in any organization, but maybe some of the very asset heavy organizations, such as the nuclear organization or the energy or mining companies, may require tracking depreciation 15 different ways, but it does have capability to support all of that. Some very unique features, such as if you operate in very franchise model, okay? So franchise model is going to be prevalent in your restaurant space. It's going to be prevalent in very lease-centric organization when you have a lot of distributors that are selling or they are doing the service work or the installation work. The Sage X3 could be a very, very, very strong solution, because if you actually go for some of the vanilla solution, you are not going to have the lease functionality, the loan functionality, because the financial application of the lease and loan is going to be very, very, very different. Now, if you look at the supply chain management, in case of supply chain, they have the complete quality program inbuilt as part of the supply chain module, which again, I don't find a lot of software in the mid-market space that actually have the inbuilt quality as part of the solutions. They are most likely going to use the add-on. Sage X3 has that as part of their product. The other things that you may want to pay attention to, intercompany prices. I don't think I have seen this in any of the mid-market solution. Sage X3 has that. That could be applicable to a lot of different companies that are very heavy in their intercompany processes. again, most of the companies, they try to simplify things. Their companies are going to be fairly isolated. So they are not really capitalizing on the capabilities of the ERP the way it is supposed to be done. But if you want to get there, Sage actually could be your friend. Supplier catalog import, I find this fascinating. I don't know if a lot of ERP systems are able to support that. And this could be a very heavy process. You might spend tons and tons of money in just doing the supplier catalog import. If you are dealing with a lot of different suppliers, you have to import their pricing. You have to import their product set. Oh my goodness, it's going to be so difficult for you. So Sage Hackery does allow that. They are also very heavy. So Sage Hackery is a very unique product because they have very specific processes for the process manufacturing organizations, but they also have very strong functionality in the engineer to order centric spaces. And I don't know what was the design philosophy behind this, but they have very strong configurator. And one of the things that I have personally not seen in any other ERP platform is going to be the phantom logic for configurator. And this is coming from a customer. And when this customer has installed Sage X3 at not Sage X3. He has had roughly what? 6 ERP implementations is what he has done. And Sage X3 is the only solution that he could find that could support the phantom logic for the configurator. So a lot of companies that claim that they have the phantom logic, it's not going to be phantom because you are probably going to require a SKU number or the product to be able to support that. But if you look at some of the science shops or the engineer to order shops, they don't necessarily have a product. So that's why Sage X3 is going to be a superior solution there. Now, some of the other functionalities such as backorder management, we saw that in case of QuickBooks. I don't know if I have seen that in any other ERP systems. From the logistics perspective, Sage X3 is a fairly robust solution. As far as I could see, they have a lot of financial processes that actually impact your logistics module. And some of the even deep manufacturing solutions are probably not going to have this functionality. To be honest, when you talk about this container level tracking or the movement level of tracking, and that sometimes belongs to your TMS, but Sage X3 supports a lot of that functionality out of the box. They have the traceability. Traceability is going to be there, so that's why it wins a lot in the food and beverage, pharma space. Then traceability is very important for them just because, again, it was a process manufacturing solutions. So they are going to have the quality and traceability processes inbuilt as part of the product. They have very deep subcontract management functionality. I don't know if I have seen this deep subcontract functionality as part of any other solution, to be honest. Okay. And sometimes the subcontract functionality in a lot of different food and beverage and engineer to order places or the industries could be very strong. And a lot of vanilla ERP systems might not be able to support that, which I found very exciting. There are functionalities such as license plate number identification. Again, this functionality is typically included as part of your WMS. Sage X3 has that as part of your product. They also have a lot of processes from the ISO perspective, which you are not going to find in any other ERP systems. From the TMS perspective, they have carrier management, which I find exciting. Again, that's very exciting overall from the TMS perspective. The commercial configurator, as I had mentioned, their commercial configurator is very robust. That does support the processes of some of the engineer to order organization or the organizations that are going to require the phantom logic. Again, I have not seen that in any other platforms. I have not personally seen the demo of this product if this is going to be suitable for the companies that are going to require the phantom logic. But at least from their marketing material, they are claiming that they have the phantom logic and it has been validated by a customer. So most likely they are going to have, I hope that's not going to be an add-on, but since it is part of the data sheet, I'm assuming that it's probably going to be part of the product. If you look at the manufacturing management, they have some of the reorder functionality, which I don't find in a lot of ERP systems that are really designed for the distribution organization, not necessarily for the manufacturing, but they do have that. In case of bill of material, the formula is as part of the product. It's part of the main product. You don't have to require any sort of add-ons, which is, again, fascinating because it was designed as more of the process manufacturing-centric solution, but then they moved to discrete as well. Okay, this is the configurator piece. Okay, what else? I think that's pretty much it from the... Now, if you actually look at some of the deep manufacturing functionality, for example, weighing scale is a very unique functionality that is going to be required by a lot of food and beverage customers. Now, if you pay attention to their data sheet, it is only included as part of their on-prem model as of today. Now, I don't know if this data sheet is going to be any old, but my understanding is that their core manufacturing functionality, for example, let's say if you require weighing scale as part of your food and manufacturing operations, you are not going to find that you have to either work with a partner or you have to deploy it at, yourself. If you look at the production scheduler, for example, let's say if you require finite capacity scheduling, that is all going to be part of the partner-owned add-on. It's not part of the product. It is part of on-prem. I don't know if they are supporting as of today as part of cloud or not. Shop floor tracking is not going to be part of that. So basically what you are getting out of it is, if you have if your needs are going to be very shop floor driven, Sage actually may not be the best solution. Okay. If your needs are going to be more of the configurator driven, or if you are an engineer to order shop where your products are going to be very differentiated one to the next, then probably Sage XP is going to be a slightly better solution. So depending upon what your business model is and how complex it is, I think you need to dig into the requirement and find out which solution is going to work for you. Some other things such as time and attendance, obviously this is not included as part of the core product. Indirect time entry, break time entry, material consumption, production declaration, production time monitoring. If you look at PLM connector, APS connector, MES connector, plant maintenance connector, all of that is not included. I don't know how manufacturing companies are going to use Sage X3 without all of this.
What does it mean by connector? Is that connecting to its own modules or is that connecting it to third-party modules?
So these are really going to be the extensions. So that is not clear, Andy, here, whether most likely it is really going to be partner-owned, to be honest. Yeah, but for the most part, ideally, if you're looking at the manufacturing solution, this is what is going to drive your ERP implementation. So if you don't really have that, I don't know if Sage X3 is the right solution for you. So, okay. So now I have some slides for the Sage Intacct solution as well. So the couple of points to note here related to Sage Intacct is going to be, they are primarily targeted towards the accountant and CPA firms. Okay. That was their primary target market. If you look at their ordering of the industries at this point of time, the very first industry that they like to mention as part of their marketing collateral, accounting and CPA firms are going to be their target market. They want to target them because they give them tons and tons of business, right? So the way their pricing model is, it's very friendly to these, your CPA firms, to your accountants. Their comp model is very friendly to them as well. That's why it does really well in that segment. Construction and real estate is the second one. Again, that is very heavily penetrated by your accounting and CPAs. That's why they want to go that as their second. Financial services, again, I could not find a solution that is going to do so well in the financial services space. Then franchise model, as we looked in the data sheet, that franchises are going to be really good fit for your Sage X3. They do really well in the healthcare, hospitality, some of the home healthcare space, just because of the franchise and the retail-centric model. The hospitality is another sector that they are doing really well, and then they have very core functionality for not-for-profit. They are going to require very specific functionality that other companies are not going to have. And they have done really, really well in the subscription and SaaS space. So again, the software is designed for very specific industries. If you look at their pricing, the pricing is done per entity. So if you are a multi-entity business, the pricing could become cost prohibitive overall if you look at the Sage Intacct. So if you have a lot of different entities, for example, let's say if you are going to be energy business, for which for each project, let's say you create one entity, you are going to be paying a lot of money. To Sage Intacct, some of the other solutions may be cheaper for you if you are that kind of business. So paying attention to pricing model is going to be key here as well. And some of the other unique features that we have in the Sage Intacct portfolio is going to be HIPAA compliant solution. So if you look at the healthcare space, a lot of solutions may not be HIPAA compliant, especially if you are looking at the mainstream ERP system, but Sage Intacct is the HIPAA compliant solution.
And it's interesting to see the marketing speak and then what gets backed up in terms of actual functionality. And when you start to look at what is native versus third-party integration and third-party partners that you have to incorporate into your overall implementation plan, I mean, it could get fairly complex very quick when you think you've got an out-of-the-box solution because you sat in on a pretty interesting demo. So
well, quickly, Sam, we didn't really touch on user interface, and I find that Sage's user interface was less friendly than a lot of the other solutions I was involved in. I also found with their products that the data and the access to the information tends to be much more siloed, which caused people to have many screens open and having to have many different ways to access the information or to do transactions than some of the other solutions. And I agreed with what you said that it's a very powerful, good solution, especially distribution, especially construction. When you get into a deeper manufacturing environment, especially discrete manufacturing, I found it interesting that they hit all of the right notes in their specification, but it's been my experience that that is not their strength. When you really get into flow of multiple layer bills, you mentioned Phantom, you mentioned some of the suppliers. I found Sage had some real limitations in that area versus some of the other solutions. And my final thought is, and I've done several Sage run companies with Sage on them. I've done several implementations around of upgrading Sage to the higher level products. I still, for the life of me, can't figure out 100, 200, 300, 500 and all the things they're doing and how that actually fits into a cohesive conversation. Even their own board slides only use 200 in the category and never talked about where is 300 and 500. I'm wondering, where's the good stuff? So I think you did a really nice job today of putting a lot of light on that by reading that. I learned a lot myself on kind of how this whole product line goes together a little bit. So thank you for that.
It's definitely confusing, but to be fair with Sage, to be honest, I mean, it's very hard when you have 70 different product lines and all of a sudden you are going to be consolidating that in one portfolio because every vendor out there, they are trying to have slightly more cohesive strategy from the product market fit. One of the days in 2000, when you used to have, let's say, 70 different products and you could carry all of them and support all of them. But that's not working anymore. I think vendors have figured this out. And Sage has figured this out as well, that they will not be able to have 10 different products. They are going to have only five products or four products that they are going to go with. And that's exactly what every other software vendor is doing at this point of time.
And maybe extra challenging for them real quickly because of the number of products and the path that they're trying to create, which is logical what they're trying to do. But I've also found that upgrading Sage, to, especially when you got to jump a couple platforms up, is a full implementation. And I would just encourage everybody to really be mindful of what that implementation looks like, including data migration. Because there, you know, you never get 100% of data migration. But with Sage, I found when moving even to their own platforms, there was a lot of challenges on data migration moving around in their product portfolio.
Doesn't surprise me, Phil. Just a comment that I have, you know, like I said earlier on, the Sage X3 systems DNA is in the process industry, and it's an exceptionally good product for that target market. So if any companies out there are considering or looking for a new ERP system and under their process manufacturing, I think Sage X3 should be definitely on your short list. However, as I also mentioned, 2 or 3 years ago, they've been trying to diversify, and many, many ERPs do this, trying to diversify and go into other more discrete type manufacturing. What Sam pointed out was I can't remember the full list, but advanced planning and scheduling. There was a full list of modules that were called ISVs or third-party bolt-ons, and a whole list of connectors. Now, the word connector is a euphemism for an interface, which means that it wasn't made that way originally. So if you truly are looking for a discrete manufacturing system, I'm not sure I would be considering this product.
I agree. You are only going to have limited R&D dollars, and you are going to have very clear strategies where you have the highest chances of winning. So if you look at their financial statements, obviously Sage is going to be super committed to their process industries.
Absolutely.
That's where they have traditionally won, and that's where their core offering is. And that's where they can really differentiate. So that's why they are not paying as much attention to your discrete manufacturing functionality. And that's why that is provided as part of either add-on or the partner-provided functionality, as opposed to having that part of the core solution. So one comment I had related to you, Phil, you mentioned the user experience, right? So In case of user experience, I mean, I like to be slightly more specific. So when you said Sage wasn't as user-friendly compared to other platforms, can you talk about the specifics of why you felt that it wasn't as user-friendly? Which platform were you comparing with? Did you have to click multiple clicks? Just walk me through the process, why you felt as a user that it is going to be a slightly more difficult product than some of the comparable products.
Right, and I'll compare it specifically to Microsoft Dynamics. And in Dynamics, the user interface, it allows you to access
One distinction, please, if you don't mind. One distinction. So which product are we talking about in the Dynamics portfolio?
I'm particularly talking about finance and operations in this comparison. Okay. So that is certainly a higher end system than Sage, but even Great Plains, from what I've seen in demos and seeing that I haven't personally had Great Plains at a place, they have a similar type of backbone as finance and operations, as FNO does, and that is that you can from single screens you can get to a lot of different places. Sage, their structure is you have to open up new things, you have to go to new places in order to see very specific information. And in the case of Dynamics, it takes some getting used to because you can get to the same place from 22 paths, right? So at first it's kind of weird, but once you get used to it, I found that the users really, really liked the fact that they could always get the information they needed and they could almost map their own way to get to it. So if I'm sitting and reporting and I want to go see some inventory, or I'm seeing inventory and I want to go see some production planning information or go look at a vendor, in the Dynamics world, I found that user interface on that path to be much more user-friendly than in Sage.
So just one distinction, guys, typically the kind of Microsoft implementations that I have personally seen, obviously Microsoft is a very technical product. They don't commercialize it as, and we are going to look into Microsoft positioning as well. You never hear that Microsoft is really an ERP vendor. A lot of people have not even heard that Microsoft is an ERP vendor, just because that is actually implemented by a lot of technical companies. They don't really have as much business background overall in implementation. So a lot of times when you are going to see Microsoft, it's going to be completely different version of Microsoft, what may be originally implemented. So you might have a lot of add-on, a lot of configuration sitting on top of Microsoft products. So sometimes that may not be the actual Microsoft Dynamics, because somebody may have made it super easy to use and you might be using looking at somebody else's product. So that is one distinction that I would like to highlight, that in Microsoft world, you need to be extra careful, because sometimes the add-ons are going to be way too many.
Well, and it's not really fair to Sage to compare it to FNO, right? But I'm just talking about, I'm not talking about the particular comparison between the two ERPs. I'm talking about the experience of just watching employees of what they have to do when they're working in Sage, multiple screens open, having to go a lot of different places to do functionality and get information. And I considered that process and that user interface to be less than what I was used to with other products, even ones that weren't as robust as Dynamics.
Well, you're talking about FNO, Phil, and there's no question power and the flexibility of a product like that. I don't think Sage has any product that competes at that level of system. However, if you came down to other products that are targeted at the small to mid markets, I completely agree with you. The Sage products do appear to be not as user-friendly. And to me, user-friendly, by the way, is synonymous with number of clicks.
And obviously, number of clicks needs to be measured in each of the flows that you are trying
to
compare.
Correct.
Absolutely right. That is what I'm talking about.
And that's the problem with sales demos, by the way, because you never see the guy in the keyboard. How many clicks is that? Darn it.
The complexity of the bombs that they are supporting. I did see supply chain and inventory pieces out there. I just feel that the selection, I think Phil touched upon it a little bit also, that for the markets that we are targeting, that Sage is trying to target at, it's important that the customers look at do a due diligence on what their needs are, and then go ahead and choose wisely on what version do they want to, because looks like they have every module available, and maybe they could also customize for you, and there are connectors and all and whatnot all available. Especially for small businesses, it's very important to understand what they need and maybe just focus and invest money on that particular module or version that they want to invest.
Great advice.
One quick comment, Neha, on that. So obviously, any product out there, I think you need to pay attention to the fine lines. And by the way, when you talk about Sage, always have that distinction, because in Sage, again, there are multiple products. So you need to pay attention to which is the product that you are looking at right now. And if that is going to be aligned to your requirements, because Sage Intacct is a completely different product than your Sage X3. It's targeted for different industries. It's targeted for different size of industries. So if somebody is going to say that, you know what, Sage does not have good user experience, they might be talking about a very specific product that they have seen, not again. You know, if you look at Sage Intacct, it's a beautiful product. It's an amazing product.
Absolutely.
Exactly. And they have like myriad of versions out there. And that's why I say that it's so important, even more, to minutely look at your needs and just pick and choose if you absolutely have to go with Sage. Like if we are trying to compare it with NetSuite, it's a huge ecosystem that we are talking about. It has everything end to end, right? They are deep into it. And Sage is trying to actually be out there and try to capture every segment of it. So
when you look at these data sheets, I mean, it's going to feel that you have everything, but you know what you really need, you are going to fall short there. Again, these systems are designed for very specific size of the company. They are designed for very specific industry segment. So unless you do that thorough analysis of what you really need and what they have in that specific system, you probably will end up buying a wrong product.
True. Yeah.
Guys, thank you everyone for joining, and you all have a wonderful day.
Thanks, Sam.
Thank you, Sam.
Thanks, Sam. I cannot thank our guests enough for coming on the show, for sharing their knowledge and journey. I always pick up learnings from our guests, and hopefully you learned something new today. If you want to learn more about ND Pratico, head over to essoft.com. It's ESSOFT.com. If you want to learn more about Phil Kerper, head over to ringlingbusinesssolutions.com. It's RINGLINGBUSINESSSOLUTIONS.com. If you want to learn more about Dave Chrysler, head over to thechrysler.club. It's thechrysler.club. If you want to learn more about Sneha Kumari, connect with her on LinkedIn and Twitter. Links and more information will also be available in the show notes. If anything in this podcast resonated with you and your business, you might want to check other related episodes, including the interview with Rich Said, who describes his journey and the pitfalls of implementing 6 ERP projects throughout his career. Also, the interview with Randy Johnston from K2 Enterprises, who discusses why process documentation is essential to manage growth. Also, don't forget to subscribe and spread the word among folks with similar backgrounds. If you have any questions or comments about the show, please review and rate us on your favorite podcasting platform or DM me on any social channels. I'll try my best to respond personally and make sure you get help. Thank you, and I hope to catch you on the next episode of the WBS Podcast.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the WBS Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on your favorite podcasting platform so you never miss an episode. For more information on growth strategies for SMBs using ERP and digital transformation, check out our community at wbs.rocks. We'll see you next time.